The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Amen. God's word for us this morning is this amazing little account in Luke chapter 21. You'll find it on the screen. As Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. "Truly, I tell you," he said, "this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on." This is the word of the Lord. We might wish that Jesus just never looked up. You know, the word before us this morning says that he looked up and he actually saw the monetary offerings that people were giving at their church in Jerusalem. And we're reading from Luke's gospel today, but I got to tell you that the only other place in the Bible where this same account is in Mark's gospel, chapter 12. And there the Greek word for look, you know, Jesus looked, it's actually more like stare, intently gaze upon, fix your gaze on something, lock in on something. Am I the only one here that's just a little bit nervous about our Lord Jesus staring at the amount that people were giving in church? I remember when I was 5 years old sitting next to my mother in church, and I noticed that every time she put an offering in the offering plate, so the offering envelope in the plate, it was always face down. And part of that was to not make a show of your offering, you know, even to the usher, you know, don't want to make a show of it. But the other part of it was privacy. You know, like nobody needs to know what we're giving except us. Now, I suppose we could say, well, Jesus gets to know what those people were giving because he's Jesus, and we'd be right. But there's something more here. There is more here in this word of God than just Jesus' divine right to know what offerings people give at church. See, he wants to teach us something. Lord Jesus wants this offering by this woman to be something that teaches us. He wants us to wrestle with what she did. And he wants us to wrestle with what he had to say about it. He wants the spotlight to shine not just on her offering. That's really a very small part of it. He wants it to shine on her heart. And he wants it to shine into our hearts 2,000 years later. Simply put, we're all in Christ's generosity school this morning. And if he is like the president of the school or the headmaster, his main professor this morning is this poor widow. And this poor widow teaches us about sacrifice. What she learned from her Lord is what she teaches to us. The sacrifice given for us moves sacrificial giving by us. Sometimes I wonder if Jesus looked up and saw that offering, you know, fixed his gaze on it just because of the joy that it gave him. Just because of the way it gladdened his heart. You see, the day that this happened, this account happened, it was the Tuesday of what we call Holy Week, the first Holy Week. So within 72 hours, our Lord Jesus was going to have the weight of the world's sin on his shoulders as he hung on the cross. But in many respects, the suffering had already begun on this Tuesday. We sometimes call the Tuesday of Holy Week Busy Tuesday or Teaching Tuesday because you can read whole chapters in the gospel that just have to do with this Tuesday. And what was Jesus doing? He was laboriously and energetically teaching and arguing with the religious leaders of the day, the religious establishment among the people. These were folks that should have opened their hearts to what Jesus was pointing out to them in the Holy Scriptures, that he was in fact the Lord's Messiah, but they were too steeped in their own self-righteousness, in their own pride, in their own greed, in their own hatred for the Son of God in their midst. And so they rejected him. And sure, Jesus had a small band of disciples that were listening to him, that believed in him, but their understanding of what was going on, their understanding of what had to happen, it really left something to be desired. So here is Jesus. Rejection of him on the one hand, ignorance about him on the other. Oh, how it must have grieved his soul. But then, this shaft of light pierces the darkness. And this light shining in the darkness comes from a source that few people would have expected. She was not affluent. She was not influential. She was old. She was alone. And she was insignificant in everybody's eyes except Jesus's eyes. This poor widow gave an offering that was everything she had to live on. Crazy? Jesus doesn't call it crazy. Jesus commends it. He says, this is a gift that is far greater than all the gifts brought by rich people. Now, how did she do that? Maybe before we contemplate what that woman did, we need to think about where she was. She was at the temple. She was in what was called the woman's courtyard. And around that temple in Jerusalem, around the courtyard, there were 13 receptacles in the shape of trumpets. And that's where you could put your money in the temple treasury, which is what everybody was doing. The money that she brought was really in substitution for a more costly animal sacrifice that was going to be happening within the temple. See, it's important to remember, friends, that even though we're reading about this in our New Testament, this poor widow was really an Old Testament believer in this sense. She was still looking ahead to the Messiah. She was still waiting for that Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. She was waiting for God to send his Messiah into the world to be the ultimate sacrifice for her sins. And here she was at the place that all her life, Christ's sacrifice had been prefigured and anticipated and foreshadowed with all of those animal sacrifices. And what I'm saying is this, is there she stood with the sacrifice of the Messiah in her heart and with all of this in her mind. And that's what moved her to do what she did. And what she did is she gave an offering that was everything. We can't give God's way until we understand, until we think about what we've been given by God's hand. Wasn't that what the Apostle Paul was talking about earlier in this service? When he said, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich." It's only when we realize how rich we are in God's grace by the sacrifice of his Son that we are able to give. Every believer decides what they will give in their life when they consider what they've been given. Not every church has one. Most do. And it really can be anywhere within the sanctuary. But in most churches, it's where ours is, and that's up here in front in what's called the chancel. And toward the very front of the chancel, there is a rather fancy table. But we don't call it a table. We call it the altar. And just the word itself, altar, implies sacrifice. But we're not Old Testament believers. Nobody's going to be making any animal sacrifices on that table. No one will be prefiguring, you know, looking ahead to, foreshadowing the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on that altar. No. But we still call it an altar. Why? So that we can remember his sacrifice. Jesus' sacrifice upon the cross to remove every one of our sins, every God-pleasing gift that we can give. And it doesn't matter if it's money or time or our abilities, our help, our compassion, whatever we're going to give, if it's going to be God-pleasing, it really comes from this place of looking at the cross and being moved by the sacrifice. And so we really need to encourage each other to take that position in our giving. Look to the cross and then decide what your offering will be. And remember this. There is no guilt at the cross except the guilt that has been taken away. And it wasn't guilt, my friends, that held Jesus to the cross, only his love. And this is what pours out from the cross. Please, do not let Christ's sacrifice on the cross constrain you with guilt, because there is only liberating love, freeing us up to do what that woman did, to give a gift that gladdened the heart of Jesus. And what a gift it was. Jesus himself said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. So that's sacrificial giving by any definition of the word. She had these two very small coins. They were called lepta. So two lepta that she put in. They weren't even minted by the Romans. They were like less than that. They were minted by the local Jewish people. And there's always debate on this, like how much are they worth in today's money? But it seems to me that the closest estimation of what they're worth is this. Are you ready? 1/128 of the average day's wage for a working man back then. So that's not, you know, sometimes you read in your Bible, like in the footnote, it'll say it's worth a fraction of a penny. Well, it's not that little, but it's really not that much. It certainly was, however, egg money or bread money or milk money, and it was her last egg, bread, or milk money. And think about this. If she had given just one lepta, wouldn't that have been an amazing offering? Half of all that she had, and yet she gave two. All of it. As she reflected on the sacrifice for her, she went as far as she could go. And then she let God do it. Then she let God take over. Then she let God do what he does with our offerings and with our lives. Isn't that what Jesus means when he says she gave more than everybody else? You know, two lepta certainly was not monetarily more than what all the rich people were putting in, but it was more trust, wasn't it? More trust. Her offering was so great in the eyes of the Lord because it proceeded from this fierce trust in God. Not only did she step out in faith with her offering, she leaped in faith and she trusted that God was going to catch her. And he did. Christian life generosity is like that. It is an expression of our trust in God. In the Bible, there's this thing called the first fruit principle of giving, and it really has to do with trusting God when you give. Back in ancient days, God's people were encouraged to give the first crop they had in from the field, the first fruit of the harvest, before they had any other harvest. And when they made an offering like that, you see, that was an opportunity for them to trust the Lord of the harvest, that he was going to take care of them, even though they had given all that they had to give at the moment. You see, not only is our gracious and glorious God worthy of our first and best, he is trustworthy to take care of us and to give us what we need in order to be generous with our lives. Our offerings are a way to say, Lord, I trust you. I trust you to go as far as I can go. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. That line in the hymn that we sang before the sermon wouldn't be in there if sacrificial widow's mite giving were all that common. Come to think of it, Jesus would not have said what he said if it were all that common. How is it going to become more common within us? It starts with putting ourselves in her shoes. Finding ourselves in the place of that poor widow who is Jesus' example for us this morning. And let's not kid ourselves about what she did. Her offering was not easy to make. It was not painless. And then there's this. She was as saddled with sinful flesh as we are. And because I know that is the case, because I know that she was a sinner, even though she's this great example, she was a sinner just like you and me. I know that her sacrifice was not perfect, but the sacrifice she reflected on was absolutely perfect. And with God's sacrifice in her heart, she had the power to see her offering differently from what everybody else was seeing. She saw her gift not as holding her back, but as a hallelujah to the God who had given her all she had. She saw her gift not as money lost, but a gift gained. The gift of living in grace and trust and letting God hold you. So my prayer for you and yours for me is this. Give us that power, Lord God. Give us that power to see our gifts in that way. The power to give of ourselves fully in loving God and loving neighbor. To give of ourselves with trust, more and more trust every day in the one who gave himself as the perfect sacrifice to set us free to sacrifice in our giving. Amen. And let us pray. Dear Father, whose bounty all creation shows, Christ, by whose willing sacrifice we live, Spirit, from whom all life and fullness flows, to you with grateful hearts ourselves we give. Amen.